going to be reading from Isaiah 5, 1 to 4. 5. I will sing for the one I love a song about his vineyard. My loved one had a vineyard on a fertile hillside. He dug it up and cleared it of stones and planted it with the choicest vines. He built a watchtower in it and cut out a wine press as well. Then he looked for a crop of good grapes, but it only yielded only bad fruit. Now you dwellers in Jerusalem and people of Judah, judge between me and my vineyard. What more could they have done for my vineyard than I have done for it? When it looked for good grapes, why did it yield only bad? Word of the Lord. Happy Father's Day.
Please be seated. So today is Father's Day. Again, I want to say Happy Father's Day to all the fathers in our midst. And I think later on we have a gift for them, right? Yes. And I have picked Isaiah 5 this morning. Maybe it's not a love song, but it's a song of love from a father, from our Heavenly Father, but in the wrong key, unfortunately. This is my topic this morning. Isaiah chapter 5 is, like most of the Old Testament, is written in a poem, poetic form. It started off with a song from a father. Verse 1 says, "Let me is Isaiah the prophet, let me sing now," is a song that he wants to sing, but not for himself, not for Isaiah himself, but for my well-beloved Heavenly Father, God. A song of my beloved concerning his vineyard. My well-beloved had a vineyard on a fertile hill. So the prophet Isaiah here, he's singing a song of love for someone else, for someone that he deeply loved, the Heavenly Father, God himself. So it is a song about the master's love for his people. And this is a song, it sounds like a happy song, but as we read and continue, we will notice that it's not that happy, this song that Isaiah is singing for the Heavenly Father. Our Heavenly Father is like a new father, like Chris, or like some of us when we first became a father. When we got the news that we become parents, then we all get very excited, like Chris and Jen. And then we will prepare everything for the baby. So Chris told me that he bought 1,000 diapers when it's on sale. Now he cannot use them because Michael grows so fast. So he has to resell those diapers. So when we got the news that we will become parents, so we all get very excited. Then we start to prepare for the coming of the child. We prepare the room. We will prepare the clothing. We'll buy a little basin to give the baby a bath. All the equipments, clean up the room, vacuum, or even ping the baby's room. Our Heavenly Father is just like our earthly father. He prepared the best for his children. Verse 2, and this is the beginning of this song of love, and shows that how much our Heavenly Father loves us. He dug it all around, removed its stones, and planted it with the choicest wine. And he built a tower in the middle of it, and also he out a wide wedge, which is a wide press in it. First, he picked a fertile hill. He picked the best land for farming, for planting, starting a vineyard to plant the grapes. Many years ago, when I was still working as an engineer, I got a chance to went to Germany to work for a short time. So my colleagues, three of us, so we decided to explore Germany since it's, everything is company people. So we rented a BMW 730. So we the factory, the plant that we're going to work is actually way up at the north, way at the North Sea, if you know Germany. But we started from the south, so we rented this car, three of us, and we drove all the way from the south to the tip, the northern part of Germany. And then as we drove along the river Rhine, we see all these vineyards. That's why they like to drink so much beer. So when we pick the land to plant the grapes, we want to pick a fertile land, fertile hill. So our Heavenly Father prepared the best for his children. It's like us. We always prepare the best, give the best to our children. So not only that, our Heavenly Father picked a fertile hill for his people. He dug it all around. So he get the earth already for the grapes to grow. Right? It's just like our parents pick the best school he can find, the best location, get everything ready, the best car seat is all certified. So he get everything all ready so that the vineyard can be a success, can grow good grapes. He get everything all ready. Some of our parents, I think most of our parents probably did not born here, came from Asia, Hong Kong, China, Singapore, and also Vietnam. But they moved here not because of themselves, isn't it? Most of the parents, they move here because for the good, for the future of their children. So they came here, sometimes they have to give up their profession. They may be professionals in the country they came from, but they move here, all their trainings are not recognized, so they have to start all over again to learn English, learn a new language, just for the future of their children. I think all of our parents are like that. God here, he will loose up the ground, dug it all around, and remove its stones. Remove all the obstacles that will stop the grapes from growing. Right? So remove all the rocks. See most here, work at the small little garden in our backyard. So every day she went out there and remove the stones, will loosen the ground to water so that the plants, the veggie can grow. Same as that. So God removed all the stones, the obstacles. So God led the Israelites out of Egypt so that they do not have to be slaves. So they don't have to be the Egyptian slaves. God removed all the stones that will, so that the Israel people can grow as a nation of God, so they can be closer to God. God freed them from bondage and slavery so that they can be free. Like in Canada, well, it's a free country. We came here because it is, we have freedom here. Probably we have one of the most free countries in the world. And then the master planted it with the choicest wine. He picked, the master picked the best seed. Pick the best place. Whatever is the best, he gave to us. In Mount Sinai, God gave the Israel people the law, the Torah, so that they can be a holy nation. So that they can be a people of God. So that they will be able to be a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. Exodus 19, 5 to 6. Today we want to send our children to the best school. We want to send them to, if you have money, finance, want them to send to the school in U.S. Maybe not to Harvard now, but in the past, we want them to the best school in U.S. So you want to provide the children the best education. The master here, he planted it with the choicest wine, the best you could find. And then he built a tower in the middle of it, a tower to look over, to care, to protect. Exodus 25, 8. Let them construct a sanctuary for me, that I may dwell among them. They construct the tabernacle so that God is in the midst of the Israel people. God not only provides us the best environment to grow, provides us, he also in our midst and look over us. Today, you come to church, you're part of the church family. God looks over you through the church family. So it is important that you stay with the church family. Even though you say that my faith is personal, I can stay home and worship God, yes, but you need the protection of the community. You need the support and help from the other people. And God himself looked over the Israelite people. He built a tower in the middle of it. And he also gave out a wide press, a wide wedge in it. So God is already even also set up an office so that when you graduate, you know, you can work in my office. You don't even have to worry to find to start your business. I already have a business ready here for you. So when you are ready, you come and I am ready to use you. So why wedge? Why press? So God is already. So it is a song of love. It shows that how much God loved his people. And so that how much God loves us today as well. I found this picture on the internet. It just shows that this is a beautiful vineyard, isn't it? Everything is planted, very organized. And then there's a tower in the middle of it, looking over the yard. And then there's the white press on the right lower corner. And he is ready. He nurtures people so that his people can bring the good news to other nations, so that his people can worship the true God, so that his people can bring glory to him, so that his people can enjoy God's presence forever. Then he expected it to produce good grapes. Isn't that a fair expectation? We as parents, we pour our efforts, our energy, our time to raise our children. We do expect them to be at least a good citizen, someone who can contribute to the society. We expect our children to honor and respect us, don't we all? And he expected Israel, the Israelites to be good grapes, to be a nation for God, to be a holy nation. So this morning, as we look back, what God has given to each one of us, that we are here in this land of milk and honey. It's more than milk and honey in Canada. We are more than milk and maple syrup. We are so blessed here. Have we show our appreciation to God that he has given us this one of the best places on earth that we can live on? Have you shown your appreciation to God? But as we continue to read, verse 2, but it produced only worthless ones. Worthless ones, sour grapes. So sad. God has given the best to his people, but yet, even today, let's know that most of the Israel people are not Christians. They do not believe in God. Some actually, they are quite opposed to Christianity. Won't your heart, if you are the Heavenly Father, won't your heart be broken this morning, today? So God the Master is sad. So it is a sad song. It's a love song. It's a song of love, but in the wrong key. So verse 3 and 4, "And now, O inhabitants of Jerusalem and men of Judah, judge between me and my vineyard. You be the judge." This is God himself. He doesn't need us to be the judge. But he is so sad. His heart as a father is broken. You be the judge. You tell me, what more was there to do for my vineyard than I have not done in it? Why, when I expected it to produce good grapes, did it produce worthless, sour, bitter grapes? In Hebrew, what more was there to do for my vineyard that I have not done in it? This doesn't sound like a saying from the Almighty God, isn't it? This sounds like more from a father with a broken heart. So I call this as a love song, a song of love of a father. It's expressing his sadness, his sorrow, disappointment with the people that he has chosen. They're supposed to be a holy nation, that not only that is supposed to worship God, but they're supposed to bring this good news to other nations and bring them to him. But yet, it produced worthless grapes. What more was there to do for my people that I have not done? I have done the best. You can almost, from this verse, you can see the tears in God's eyes, don't you? What more can I do? Now as we move on, God is mad, he's angry. So starting from verse 5, we can see God's anger. So now let me tell you what I am going to do to my vineyard. I will remove his hedge and I will break down his wall. God is going to remove his protection on his chosen people. I will, as I said, Psalm 5, Isaiah 5 is a poem. So we have to read it like a poem. I will lay it waste. It will not be pruned. There will be thorns and there will be no rain. So here God is using it as a metaphor that God will hold back his blessings on his chosen people, Israel. For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel. In case you do not know who this vineyard is referring to, now Isaiah the prophet make it clear. This God is talking about, he is talking about Israel here. The house of Israel and the men of Judah. Israel and Judah, the north and the south, his delighted plan, delightful plans. Does he look for justice? I put down the Hebrew word there. But behold, bloodshed. For righteousness, tzedak. But behold, a cry of distress. You notice that the similarity of the Hebrew words. So this is Isaiah the prophet is using a play of words here. So he chose two Hebrew words that are very similar, but has opposite meaning, right? Mispatch, right? Justice, bloodshed. Righteousness, tzedak, cry of distress. Instead of righteousness, unrighteousness, distress. The father's heart is broken. Now, prophet is going to count their sins, their crimes. Who to those who added house to house and joined field to field until there is no more room so that you have to live alone in the midst of the land. He's not talking about land assembly here. Today we drive around in Vancouver, you see all these signs here for sale, all these houses, land assembly. No, it's not. Especially if your house is close to the SkyTrain station. So they're putting all the lands together to build apartment, high-rise building. He's not talking about that. He's talking about in those days, the rich people, people who have land is wealth. But today, maybe, but today land is still wealth. But in those times, land is the wealth. So people who have wealth, they accumulate more wealth. You need the land to plant crops so that you can have food. So people who own the lands, they own more lands, and then other people, they don't have land. They cannot farm. So the rich people, they will take away the land from the poor people. And in my ears, the Lord of the hosts has sworn, surely, many houses shall become desolate, even great and violent, without occupants. But the Lord warned them, I will punish you. I will punish those people. Those people trying to accumulate, take away lands from the weaker people. And then the Lord goes on, Isaiah goes on to say, that, woe to those who rise early in the morning, that they may pursue strong drink. In those days, I guess there are not that many entertainment besides drinking and partying. Strong drinks who stay up late in the evening, then wine may inflame them. So people who indulge in drinking, alcoholics. And then the Lord continue to point out the sins of his chosen people. Their banquets are accompanied by lyre and harp. There's nothing wrong with that. Worship him, right? By trembling, drumming, and flute, horns, trumpets, and by wine. But they are not worshiping God. They're just indulging in partying. But they do not pay attention to the deeds of the Lord. So be careful. When we come up here and sing, we are singing for the Lord. Nor do they consider the work of his hands. They are singing, dancing, but not to worship God, but just for their own enjoyment. Woe to those who tread in iniquity with the cord of falsehood, who using false teaching to drag people, to pull people away from God. And then they ask, let him make speed. Let God make speed. Let's hurry up. Let him hasten his work, that we may see him. See it. Let's see God's work. Actually, they don't believe in God. And let the purpose of the Holy One of Israel draw near and come to pass, that we may know it. Where is God? Show us what your God can do. How sad it is. These are supposed to be God's chosen people. Woe to those who call evil good and good and evil. They're just the opposite. They call light darkness and darkness light. Bitter sweet, sweet or bitter. These people who call the right wrong. Today we don't have to look very far. Look at our society. Even our teaching in school, which is leading us further and further away from the Bible. What the Bible is teaching today, even some of the school teaching say that it's wrong and imposing this wrong teaching on our children. And it's exactly what Isaiah here is scolding the Israelite people, God's chosen people, and woe to those who are wise in their own eyes and clever in their own sight, rather than trusting the Lord for wisdom. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of the wisdom. But these people, God's people, they find wisdom in their own eyes, in their own minds. Who justify the wicked for a bribe, the corruption of the government, of the leaders, and take away the rights of the ones who are in the right. Hear about government officials, leaders that God has chosen. to lead the people, to protect the people, but instead they take bribes, corruption. They take away the rights of their people. This is a people that God truly loved, but yet they have abandoned God. How sad our Heavenly Father is. As I prepare the sermon, I find that are we, to some extent, like this Israel people that Isaiah is condemning? God gave us a land of milk and honey. As I said, there's more than a meal of honey. We have oil, which is more valuable than milk. And we have a lot of minerals that's more worth more than honey, maple, more than just maple syrup. In case you don't know, we are the world's biggest producer of potash. If you don't know what potash is, the world, especially China and U.S., needs all our potash. We produce more than half the world's potash in Saskatchewan. We are blessed. We have the world's third largest oil reserve. I think I just read recently. I think Iran is now the fourth largest oil reserve. But anyway, we have the world's third largest oil reserve, only after Saudi Arabia. And in Saudi Arabia, they don't have to pay income tax, in case you don't know. It's a point of interest. And three countries in the world alone will have half of the world's uranium reserve. And Canada has the third largest uranium reserve. And we are the number four in terms of producing gold, but this is 2022. We are the world's number four producer of gold. And in case you don't know, we are also the world's number three in terms of producing diamonds. I build quite a few diamond mines. you may not realize Canada is actually the world's number three in terms of producing diamonds. We are so blessed. We are more than a land of milk and honey. We have trees, we have water, can produce hydroelectric power. We're the world's third country to produce the most hydroelectric power, to power your electric cars. We are so blessed in all these resources that God has provided us. We have freedom. You can freely go to church. You can read the Bible without worry, looking over your shoulder. No one will put you into jail. But yet, our people, Canada, they're walking away from God. Each day, each month, each year, we're getting further and further away from God. We do not only teach our children the Bible anymore. We don't even like people to talk about Christ. We don't even like people to say Merry Christmas. We want to say Happy Holidays. For a while at work, we don't have Christmas parties. We have winter celebration party. I always scratch my head, what is there to celebrate in the so-called winter? It's only recently they changed back to Christmas parties. We are a very blessed nation, but yet we are walking further and further away from God. Are you also walking further and further away from God, even though you are greatly blessed? The fact that you can sit here this morning in this country with this freedom, you can free to worship, is already a blessing. But have we treasured that? And God's punishment will come. Starting from verse, where are we now? Verse 24. as a tongue of that will be fire, stubble, dry grass, flame, root, rot, blossom, dust, all these are metaphors talking about God's punishment is going to come upon his chosen people, the Israel. And this is a very serious punishment that are coming. They will be burned. God has burned against his people, struck them down. The anger is not spent. His hand is still stretched out. God is mad. And he promised Isaiah, as a messenger of God, saying that God's punishment will come upon his people. And I think if we read the Bible in the history, we know that Israel suffered since at that time. God's punishment on them. They are being taken over by their enemies that disperse in the world. And it is a sad, sad story, isn't it? As we look back, we know better now than in Isaiah's time that God's punishment did come to Israel. So this morning, as we read this, this may look like a very sad story, isn't it? That all this punishment, there will be a nation. Isaiah is referring to the Assyrians. From a distant nation, from the ends of the earth, they are going to come very quickly to invade, to attack the people of Israel. And these enemies are very strong and powerful. Its arrows are sharp, bows are bent. Their horses, chariots, they are like lions. They grow as they seize the prey and carries it off with no one there to help them. This is seems to be a sad ending. Seems to be so dark. When a nation who has abandoned God, will God ever forgive them? Will God ever pour his blessings on them again? So this morning, as we look at our life, we may have walked away from God. When we were young, when we first became a Christian, we serve him wholeheartedly, but slowly our spiritual life slowly just die away. We may still come to church, at least the ones sitting here are still here, but some of us have left church, have not been worshiping him. But there is hope in this darkness, because Isaiah, who wrote this poem, is not just to condemn the Israel people, but to show that how much God loves them. This is God's heart. God's punishment is not just to kill them, but to bring them back. God wants his people to return back to him through discipline, punishment. God showed them in this poem that how much he loved the Israel people. He gave them the best. What else can God give to his people? What else can God give us? God gave his only begotten Son who died on the cross for us. What else can God give to you? So this is God's question also for us today. Father's Day, as a Father, Heavenly Father, is a crying from our Heavenly Father. God died on the cross from you. What else can he give to you? There is hope in this psalm here, that even though it may sound a bit dim, dark, but God's love never changed because he has a covenant with his people. Isaiah 54:8, in an outburst of anger, I hid my face from you for a moment, but when with everlasting loving kindness, I will have compassion. You, says the Lord, your Redeemer. Even in the chapter we study today, And God planted this hope in verse 16 and 17. But the Lord of hosts will be exalted despite the Israel people walk away from God. But the Lord of hosts will be exalted in judgment, and the holy God will show himself holy in righteousness. Even though his people are unrighteous, but God is righteous. And in verse 17, then the lambs will graze as in their pasture, and strangers, people who are not Israelites, and strangers will eat in the waste place of the wealthy. So here Isaiah is bringing a prophecy that one day, so the whole book of Isaiah is about the coming of the Messiah. So as we study the book more, we notice that embedded throughout the book of Isaiah, there's hope and there's light. And this hope, this light, is the coming of the Christ, coming of the Redeemer, coming of the Savior, coming of the Lamb, coming of Jesus Christ, our Savior. And at that time, there will be peace, will be eternal peace. Even the strangers, people who do not belong to this holy nation, as the Gentiles, will also be eating in this place of the wealthy. John 15:5, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. God provided his people, because his people, despite what God has cared, so much God has provided them, despite the blessings that we receive from God, they still gone astray. They still went the opposite way. They still abandoned God, because man, people cannot do good. Based on ourselves, we cannot bear fruit. And this has been proven by the history of his chosen people. So Isaiah here is giving us the light at the end of the tunnel. There is hope. And someday, this Messiah, Emmanuel, man, God in man, will come. And he is Jesus Christ. And this is fulfilled when Jesus came, that I am the vine. So through him, then we can produce good grapes, not worthless ones. And only through him, Jesus, that we can serve God, so we can bring glory to him. Who is a God like you, who pardons iniquity? God was mad when we read Isaiah 5, but God will forgive us. God's love is unchanging. Who pardons iniquity and passes over the rebellious act of the remnant of his possession. He does not retain his anger forever, because he delights in unchanging love. This chapter may sound dark when we read it, but yet he's trying to portray to us God really loves us like a father. He's our heavenly father. It is a cry from a loving father. It's a protest from a heavenly father. He wants us to return back to him. So brothers and sisters, as we here celebrate Father's Day, remember all the fathers, let us remember our heavenly father. He loved us so much, died on the cross for us. There's nothing more he can do for us. But yet, we take advantage, take for granted God's salvation. So this morning, let us all turn back to God. Only through him that we can produce good grapes. Let's pray. Father, this morning, help all of us to reflect on Isaiah 5. Help us to remember that you have given us the best. You what more you can give to us. You die on the cross for us. And rely on ourselves. We cannot produce good grapes. Help us. Pray that you are in us. We are in you. So that we can bear fruit for your glory. We pray in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Thank you.